Had a question. Have you ever heard the saying, life is the pits? How many have ever heard that? Life is the pits. Okay. Do you know what that means and do you believe it? I tried looking up the origin of this phrase, but I could not find anybody that seemed to be able to pin it down exactly where it originated. Some thinks it refers to the pit or the seed of fruit that is being spit out, you know, like you eat a peach or a cherry and you spit out the pit. I don't think anybody eats the pits. Anybody eat the pits in here? Kind of doubt it. They're pretty hard, I think. Some people think it refers to a person's armpit that usually has an odorous smell to it. There are some that think it could refer to a deep concealed cavity in the ground designed to lure and capture a dangerous animal or an enemy. Of course, we know that Joseph, the son of Jacob, was thrown into a pit. And Jeremiah was also confined in a pit as a prisoner. So some think it may refer to something similar to that. And of course, last but not least, there's some that may think that it's about the place where evil spirits go, as mentioned in Revelations, the bottomless pit. Doesn't really matter which one of those you choose. I think we all agree that it refers to something that's not very pleasant. So that's the main idea when you think about that. Life is the pits. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we read the words of King Solomon, who searched the meaning of life. He looked at all different aspects because he was extremely blessed by the Lord. He was put in a position that he could do this. But he examined wisdom and riches and popularity, prestige and pleasure of life. And as he looked at life from purely a human perspective, Solomon came to the metaphorical conclusion that life is the pits. In his own words, he said, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity." Well, thankfully, in this most unique book, Solomon doesn't leave us hanging, but gives us some very good counsel as to how to live in this life with all this vanity that is around us. So in a nutshell, Solomon concludes that trying to be happy and filled with joy apart from God will never work. Let me say that again. In a nutshell, Solomon concludes that trying to be happy and filled with joy apart from God will never work. Skepticism and despair can melt away when life is viewed as a daily gift from God. And what got me thinking about this, you know, last week we had the graduation of three of our young adults. Maybe I should say three of our youth that are stepping into the age where they will become adults. And that was Mikhail and Savannah and Kinsey graduating from high school. So I've decided to talk today about remembering God in the days of our youth. Now, to those who are young, Solomon had this to say. Ecclesiastes 11, 9, and 10, in verse 1 of chapter 12. He said, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart. Put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Now, first, I want to say this before we go any further, that Solomon is not sharing this God-given wisdom to just young men only. Okay? These words of wisdom will apply to women as well. Even though he says, oh, young man. But in a nutshell there, he says, rejoice in your youth, remove sorrow and evil from your youth, remember God in your youth, and reflect upon what is coming. Of course, that's good advice for all of us, but especially for our youth. So a few exceptions, youth have many things to rejoice about, don't they? All you got to do is just do a little reflecting about when you were young and the things that you could do and the things that you look forward to doing. And they were something to rejoice in. So I doubt if any of our young people would take issue with that admonition at all. But I want us to consider, not that many years down the road of life, you find out that your vim and vigor will drift away. Now, when you're young, just getting out of high school or in high school, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay? But I'm looking at a big majority of this congregation that knows exactly what I'm talking about. Your ability to do a somersault, stand on your head, or go do a backflip on the trampoline suddenly disappears. You can't do those kind of things anymore. And a lot of other things I can mention, but you get the idea. As one gets more and more involved in adult issues such as work, relationships, raising children, etc., you will discover youthful things begin to take a back seat. So with all your vigor and youthful talents God has blessed you with, enjoy using them to your utmost. But there's a caveat that goes along with this. And that is, as you enjoy doing what you do, don't forget, at the end of time, God brings into judgment everything you have done. So reflect upon what lies ahead. Remembering God in your youth has many good reasons. And we're going to explore some of those. Let's consider what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11 and 12. He says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, the son of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Whew. First good reason to remember God in your youth is this. Youth has no guarantee of the future. Guarantee. Depends on how you want to say it. Youth has no guarantee of the future. Even though many youth have a feeling of being invincible, that is not reality, is it? We know that for a fact. And every one of us could tell a story. I'm going to give you three short stories. Melina Myers, Cynthia Whipple. Two girls that were in my class. Melina,